All right, it is time for sports. That means it's time for Mike Kazi, and it's time for us to say good morning to Mike. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
How are you? And I was just saying, do you remember a song when you were really, really young? You know, they always used to make you sing, kids.
My Ding-a-ling?
No, not My Ding-a-ling. She'll be coming around the mountain when she comes.
Yeah, we heard a few versions of that.
I know. That's right. A few versions, that's right. I finally looked up the real version of it because I remembered certain verses in that, but there's a lot of versions of that song.
Like with the chain on a motorcycle?
There's really some great versions of it.
Oh, yeah.
But anyways, I don't know why that song popped into my mind this morning, but it did. But enough of that. So, do you remember the last time the UConn women lost a basketball game? It was about 6 years ago.
What, 6 years ago?
It was in February of 2013.
Wow.
So we're in January now. It's just 1 month short of...
They lost yesterday, I'm guessing.
Yeah, they lost to Baylor at Baylor. 126 wins in a row.
Season's a failure already.
I know. If you're a UConn Husky, that's right. Can you imagine going almost 6 years without losing?
That's sick.
And how many strings like that have they put together? That's the really sick thing about it. It's unbelievable.
That should have been, like, huge news. I'm sure there's a lot of people don't know. I'm sure there's a lot of people don't know they haven't lost in a while, but I'm sure there's a lot of people that don't know they haven't lost in 6 years.
Yeah, 2013, they lost. Last time they lost was on February 18th, 2013.
Wow, almost 6 years.
Almost 6 years. That's
that's sick.
That's really unbelievable. Well, anyways, I just wanted to bring that up because he's an incredible coach.
Regular season loss in 126 games.
Yeah, unbelievable. He's just
Success breeds success. Yeah. There's the evidence of that.
Well, anyway, so there's that. Well, okay, so we're
on the other hand now, we have the Knicks who haven't won a game in 6 years.
It seems that way. It seems that way. Oh. What a waste of a franchise. I mean, honest to gosh,
like I say, the only people dumber than most are the people that go to the Knicks games.
It's just
amazing. Why would you spend money to go there?
You know, in football, the Giant fans started boycotting the Giants when they were horrible for those, I think it was 6 years. But this has been more than 6 years. This has been since Patrick Ewing left.
Yeah, they haven't been in the final since Hakeem Olajuwon, and I think Ralph Sampson was on the team, beat them.
Don't you remember?
It was the Rockets.
They had the Houston Rockets, and Patrick Ewing had his finger roll to win the game, and it missed. It went into the hoop, spun
Didn't
around.
Starks missed a big basket,
and,
too.
And popped up. This was in the last second. Ewing went up and did that finger roll, and it went around the hoop. And popped out, and they lost.
I remember because I had an illegal bet on Houston to win the series, so it was good. It was good for me. I remember it.
So that's the last time. It's unbelievable.
You're going all the way back to that and the Reggie Miller wars. That's the last time the Knicks were relevant.
Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
I heard Reggie Miller just applied for Social Security, so that's been a while.
It's been a while. All right, wild card weekend. Do you want to do our picks now?
Yeah, sure.
All right, so the first game is on Saturday at 4:35. Indianapolis at Houston.
And I have my four written down, so I'm ready to roll.
All right, I'm going to go with Indianapolis.
I'm taking Houston.
Okay, the next game is at 8:15 on Saturday, Seattle at Dallas. And I'm going to take Seattle.
You're only taking Seattle because you hate Dallas, but I'm taking Seattle because they think they're going to win.
No, I'm taking Seattle for one reason, their quarterback. I think he is just magnificent. I really love the way that guy plays the game. I really do.
I could see Dallas winning this game. I just think Seattle's coming in on a high note.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. Dallas could win the game, but I just love that kid. He's not a kid anymore. And then on Sunday, the first game is the Los Angeles Chargers, hard to say that, against Baltimore.
Well, take another year or two. They'll probably be playing somewhere else.
Because I don't like their quarterback, I'm going to take Baltimore.
This could be the mismatch of the day. I can't see Baltimore being in this game.
The only way that they can be in this game is if the defense plays just stellar football. So we'll see what happens.
The Chargers lost one game on the road this year.
It's going to be interesting. So you're taking the Chargers?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Then the last game is a Philadelphia versus Chicago.
Well, if the quarterback didn't get hurt last week,
yeah,
I would have taken the Eagles, but this could get ugly too. I'm taking the Bears as well.
Yeah, that's exactly what was my thought. That if he didn't get injured, I would have taken Philadelphia, but I'll take Chicago.
Well,
all right,
like Mean Gene used to say, it's time to do the match. So you don't know what's in the envelope until the game is over.
So I've got Indianapolis.
You've got Indianapolis, Seattle, Baltimore, and Chicago.
Yeah. So those are the picks. Okay. So where else do you want to go here?
We can go to the man that believes that the moon landing was fake. Steph Curry says, you don't lose at home with a 20-point lead. Sorry, Steph, you did.
Oof.
You lost last night. The I talked to my friends a little bit about basketball. And if you look at the scores in basketball, they're sick. That used to be like the over-unders were always under 200 points. Now they're all around 215. The scoring in basketball is just awful. There's no defense at all. There's less now than there ever was. Every game's like an all-star game where you do whatever you want to do, shoot, drive, whatever. The NBA is quickly becoming, I don't watch it, but it's still quickly becoming an unwatchable product. It's nothing more than just a showcase.
I want to go to baseball. Chicago White Sox reportedly have made an offer to about $200-$250 million to Manny Machado.
He ain't going there.
I hope he does, because if he doesn't go there, it's either going to be the Yankees or the Phillies.
You know what? I want to see him in the jail uniform. I want to see him in the pinstripes.
Oh, goodness
gracious.
Yankees
lost one of their pitchers, signed with the Phillies. Robertson went to the Phillies.
Yeah.
So the Phillies are starting to make their move, signing people to make themselves more relevant again. So see what happens. Maybe that'll do something. There's still more pitchers in the market. Kluber's out there, and the Keuchel's out there. So there'll still be some more movement coming with them. Should be coming soon, because believe it or not, pitchers and catchers are only about 6 weeks away.
Yeah, I know.
So they're going to want to solidify their rosters before that. And you've seen the next 2-3 weeks, I think there'll be a flurry of signings.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens.
But as far as Tweedledee and Tweedledum, whoever's willing to give them $300 million, God bless you. I'll call the priest, and I'll send the team over for last rites.
That's just too much money.
Too much money for that type of player.
Yeah. All right, so they did that. Is there anything else that we should talk
about? There's only one guy worth $300 million. Well, maybe more than one guy, but their names are Ruth, Mantle, Mays. Those are the guys worth $300 million. There's none of them today.
Aaron. Don't forget
that. I think those three guys are better than him.
They are, but he was probably the most consistent player in baseball here. You know, he did it over years. Every year he hit 20 to 30 home runs for his career. It was amazing.
Yeah, but his average severely slumped at the end. These other guys didn't. I mean, Mays played when he was 107 years old.
That's right. For the Mets. That's right.
I mean, Henry Aaron's the Hall of Famer, bona fide Hall of Famer, right. But in my opinion, I don't think he was as good as those guys. I didn't see him when he was young in the 50s. I wasn't here. But he was a great player. But, I mean, you know, the term greatness, as I say, has turned thrown around way too much lately. And the Hall of Fame has become the Hall of Shame. They're going to probably have a second one for the real people that belong in it. But nobody's worth $300 million. You're never going to get rid of.
I was lucky enough to actually see Mickey Mantle and Willie Mays play. Yeah, in person. So that's pretty cool.
I saw them, but when they were washed up. I'm not as old as you.
That's exactly right. Washed up Miles. That's my middle name. Huh. All right, we only have about a minute left. Anything else?
Yeah, I got a couple races this weekend down at Gulfstream, some small stakes. The second race is a stake. It's the Limehouse. One horse I'm looking at in this race is the three-horse, Mercutio. This horse has been running really well at three different tracks. coming off a second in the slop at Tampa off of a maiden break and win at Calder, won by four. This horse is working out really, really good at Tampa. He's taking the ride across the state, and this horse bears watching. Another horse that I'm looking at is coming from Parks, and a couple of Parks horses lit it up on Claiming Crown Day a month ago. Splice the Main Brace is sent there by Butch Reed. Working out real good at Parks prior to going down the Gulfstream. Ran third in the Pennsylvania Nursery going seven furlongs. Got used up early, but the speed favor and Gulfstream strip is what what the doctor ordered for this horse. So second race tomorrow, 7-3 Exacta Box. Moving along here to the fifth race is the Ginger Brew, $100,000 on the turf, 7.5 furlongs. Two horses I'm looking at, another horse that's run over in a couple of places for a young horse. These are all newly turned three-year-olds. The five Red Rounder, trained by Mike Maker, was 2-for-2 at Indiana Downs before a little bit of a layup. Came back early at Gulfstream Meet. Ran a middle-of-the-road race. Think the horse needed that race. I'm using the five at 6-to-1, Red Rounder. Other horse I'm going to use in here is Mark Case's horse. 1-by-4 breaking his maiden in the middle of November at Fairgrounds. Then ran in a stake, set all the pace in that to lose only by a neck at 13-to-1. So a 5-6, 6-5 in the fifth race at Gulfstream tomorrow. Moving along, a lot of horses in that race. Got to get rid of those pages. The seventh race, I'm looking at one horse in here, the three horse, Fancy Dress Party. We're going to find out how good this horse is shipping over from Tampa. This horse is 2-for-2, but both races have been in the slop. Is this horse a good horse, or is this horse a slop lover? We'll find out tomorrow in the seventh race, and I'm going to say that this is a good horse. I'm going to use the three-horse Fancy Dress Party in this race, and another horse I'm going to use to make an exact is the one-horse Brunette Princess. That brings us to the ninth. The ninth is a 7.5 furlong on a turf, the Kitten's Joy. There's a standout in here, but I'm going to take a flyer to try to beat him. The three, Moon Colony at 8-to-1, coming off a nice win at Fairgrounds, winning by two, drawn away after sitting mid-pack. And before that, breaking maiden on a soft turf at Keeneland. This horse is 2-for-2, last two races on the turf. So this horse is coming in with a head of steam. But I think the nine, Henley's Joy, might be a little bit better. This horse ran in the Breeders' Cup, got smashed, came back off that defeat to win by four at Gulfstream at a little better than even money. Morning line tomorrow at 3-to-5 makes him an unbettable win bet. This is why I'm using Moon Colony. But I'm going to go with a 9-3-3-9 exact in the Kitten's Joy. And the last race of the day, the 10th race we're going to go with, is a 1 mile on the dirt. The Mucho Macho Man, who won the Breeders' Cup a few years back, going a mile here. Code of Honor, the 7-to-5 favorite, looks pretty tough for Shug. He's got a hot barn. This horse is training well at the Deep Pacing Center. 7-to-5, every bit of 7-to-5, but we don't make our reputation betting 7-to-5s. We beat them, and I'm going to take a shot with the one, Garter and Tie. Coming off another small stake win at Gulfstream at the mile distance after sitting mid-pack at 4-to-5. Tomorrow, Code of Honor will be 4-to-5, and Garter and Tie will probably be about 6-to-1. I'm going to take the 6-to-1 with Garter and Tie, so a 1-4, 4-1, and a 10th at Gulfstream tomorrow.